Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church from wherever you are joining us at. A few announcements this week. Please note that next Sunday worship will be at 10 o'clock as we will be worshiping with the entire annual conference. Next weekend is our annual conference, which normally is in June, but it was delayed due to COVID this year until September and then ultimately moved online. As a part of that, we're having a conference-wide live-streamed worship service on September the 27th. And so our church, will be participating in that. But just note that that will be at 10 o'clock instead of 10:30. So if you get on at normal time of 10:30, you may come in the middle of a sermon or something and be kind of confused. So I hope that you will join us online for the conference-wide annual conference worship service next Sunday the 27th. At 10 a.m. in our normal, you can find it online in our normal spots. Also, please note that I'm still having outdoor office hours from 9 to 12 each week. I bounce back and forth between the Mission Center over at Hathaway and here, main campus of Hope. So please keep that in mind. And also note that today, September the 20th, we are doing drive-through communion following worship. We will be having this twice a month for the foreseeable future. So please come today between 12 and 2 and find me here under my tent for drive-through communion. I hope you will come and participate. And as well, we have opportunities during the week for meals on Wednesday evenings and Zoom Bible study on Tuesday evenings. So we hope that you can find a way to get involved and join us as we continue to go deeper into our spiritual life. Also, we hope that you'll pick up any packets you may need or that you'll join and have any kids that you may have who want to participate in our online Sunday school. So please look for that information. Please come grab those packets if you need it, and note that we'll try and have the new teaching video up every Sunday at 9:30. So please join us as we can now enter a time of worship, and let's still our hearts, our minds, and our souls as we listen to our prelude.
And now will you join me in the call to worship? Come to us even now, Lord of life, and fill this place with your presence. We praise your name and rejoice in your love. We stand in utter amazement of who you are. Everyone who calls upon you will find fulfillment. They will rejoice forever because you are God. Rejoice and give thanks. Alleluia. Amen.
Now, as we come to our time of prayer, would you please join me in our unison prayer? O God, you are our God, the one in whom we trust. We've gathered together today to worship you, to open our hearts and minds to your presence. We long to meet you here and to hear your voice. We come with confidence because we've met you here before. We've been awed and inspired by your glory and your power. We come with gratitude because we've known your steadfast love, a love which is better than life itself. And so we praise you, lifting our voices, lifting our hands in joy and expectation. Come among us in your power. Pour out your spirit on our thirsty souls that we may be filled with your goodness and love. Amen. Let us now engage in a time of musical reflection as we go deeper into an attitude of prayer. as we continue our time of prayer, we lift up Yvette, Cindy Chimienti, Lee Flagg, Ed. Lord, we pray for much in this world. We pray for one another. We pray for those who are battling fires, those who are displaced by natural disasters, those under threat from tropical storms, those who struggle under oppression and injustice. God, be with us in these storms. We know that each of us has a different storm in our life. That does not make anyone else's storm less important or our storm more important, but we know that to each of us, our boat is being swamped and we are threatened to be taken underwater. We ask that you would continue to be with us, Lord, now just as you were when you walked among us, when we learned at your feet and asked things to you directly. In these days and times in which we now find ourselves, there is much strife and anguish, and we would ask for the courage of the Holy Spirit to be more, to be better, and to accept the challenge of discipleship and to rise above the ways of the world and to live instead for the ways of the kingdom. And as we remember the challenge of living as a kingdom people, let us join in the prayer that you taught and that we aspire to as we say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and glory forever. Amen.
Good morning. I'm just sitting here starting to put away some of the summer items that we don't need anymore. It's starting to be fall. Evenings are getting colder. And we had a lot of good time in the backyard with a small pool this summer, my grandson visiting, but now the weather's changing. It's time to put it away. So I'm going to put away the suntan lotion and got my beach towel here. It's all cleaned, ready to put into the drawer. And I've got a flotation device, one of these that will let the air out, and we'll go ahead and put it away. And as I'm putting these away, I got to thinking about our story for this week. You know, this week we're going to learn about Jesus and his disciples going out on the sea. And Jesus goes to sleep because he's tired. He wants to rest a little. And while he's resting in the boat, a terrible storm comes up. High winds, the waves are splashing over the side of the boat, and it's really pretty scary. And the disciples are frightened. And so they go ahead and wake Jesus up. And Jesus comes out and he silences the wind, he calms the lake, and the disciples aren't frightened anymore. And it got me to thinking how sometimes in my life when things aren't going right and I make a mess of things, that I have Jesus there to lift me up, kind of like this flotation device. I may have things going wrong in all directions, but Jesus is there to lift me up, to counsel me, to love me. And I'm thinking maybe when you were younger, you had flotation devices you would put on your arms when you were in the water, or maybe you had the noodles. A lot of you may play with the noodles, the foam noodles now, where you put your arms over them in the water. Maybe you have a kickboard, or maybe you have a small inner tube like this. Well, the same is true in your life, that you have things that lift you up. God has given us family and friends, and he is there for you to pray to when you want to. And that's kind of what I want you to remember this week. As you go through any problems that come up, whether you're sad, you're disappointed, lonely, whether you have an argument with somebody, that you can talk to God. You can ask for his advice. You can ask for his forgiveness and his love And no matter what you ask, He is there to lift you up, just kind of like this inner tube. So remember that this week. Let's go ahead and bow our heads for a prayer. As we go through this week, Lord, thank you for being with us, and thank you for loving us and lifting us up. Amen. Have a great week, everybody.
Our first lesson this morning comes from Psalm 42. Just like a deer that craves streams of water, my whole being craves you, God. My whole being thirsts for God, for the living God. When will I come and see God's face? My tears have been my food both day and night, as people constantly question me, "Where's your God now?" But I remember these things as I bear my soul, how I made my way to the Mighty One's abode, to God's own house. With joyous shouts and thanksgiving songs, a huge crowd celebrating the festival. Why, I ask myself, are you so depressed? Why are you so upset inside? Hope in God, because I will again give Him thanks, my saving presence and my God. My whole being is depressed. That's why I remember you from the land of Jordan and Hermon, from Mount Mizar. Deep called to deep at the noise of your waterfalls, all your massive waves surged over me. By day, the Lord commands His faithful love. By night, His song is with me, a prayer to the God of my life. I will say to God, my solid rock, why have you forgotten me? Why do I have to walk around sad, oppressed by enemies? With my bones crushed, my foes make fun of me, constantly questioning me, where's your God now? Why, I ask myself, are you so depressed? Why are you so upset inside? Hope in God, because I will again give Him thanks, my saving presence and my God.
Today's second reading is from Mark, chapter 4, verses 35 to 41. Later that day, when evening came, Jesus said to them, "Let's cross over to the other side of the lake." They left the crowd and took Him in the boat, just as He was. Other boats followed along. Gale-force winds arose, and waves crashed against the boat, so that the boat was swamped. But Jesus was in the rear of the boat, sleeping on a pillow. They woke Him up and said, "Teacher, don't you care that we're drowning?" He got up and gave orders to the wind, and He said to the lake, "Silence, be still." The wind settled down, and there was a great calm. Jesus asked them, "Why are you frightened? Don't you have faith yet?" Overcome with awe, they said to each other, "Who then is this? Even the wind and the sea obey Him." This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. Good morning. As we continue the series on Jesus being on the ship with His disciples, Pastor Andrew asked me to share a little bit about my voyage. Now, I grew up in a church-going family, so I can't name an exact date and time when I accepted Christ, as probably some of you can. But I went through Sunday school and grew up with church activities and things like that. But I do remember responding to an altar call when I was about 11 years old, and then going through some classes and being baptized after that. And that's really when the excitement started to build, when I knew I was becoming a part of the Christian family. So let me tell you a little bit about my story. No? Let me show you a bit about my story. Come on, let's go.
Thank you. Okay, here we go. Hope it's not too boring.
Well, this is where my voyage began. Right here, right back behind me there. Can you see it? No, I wasn't born in a vacant field, not in a hole in the ground. That's where Lakewood Hospital used to be. Thought I'd start there at least. To be honest though, I really don't remember a whole lot about it. Well, here's where I grew up, all the way from an infant until kindergarten. My whole world was along this side of the street, all the way down to the parking lot down there, to about six houses up to my friend up there. This is my safe harbor. I had parents and sisters who cared for me, and I certainly don't take that for granted. And this is where I departed my safe harbor. This is my walk to kindergarten, where I had to go through the big intersection. My parents prepared me for it. They taught me the signs and the signals, taught me how to look both ways. There's a lot of things that God asks us to do that involve some risk. But we have the navigational signals. We have the tools to be able to do that. You might also recognize that that's Lakewood Methodist Church over there. We'll get back to that in a moment. Okay, so we've made the long journey, a couple of blocks to kindergarten. We crossed the big intersection, we crossed the railroad tracks, and now we made it to school. This is Lincoln School, but it was totally different when I was here. But it is the site of some real family folklore. From what I understand, my parents walked me over to entrance over there when they first walked me to kindergarten. And by the time they had walked back over there, I was coming out the door to meet them. So I was not a fan of kindergarten. In fact, you might say I was abandoning the ship. Abandoning ship at that point. Are there things that you're abandoning? Are there things that maybe during the pandemic that you have a little bit more time that you might be able to do? Even when we walk in one door and we walk out the other, God forgives us, gives us second chances, allows us to find our way. So here we are at Lakewood Methodist. You probably think I went here, but in fact I didn't. My great-great-grandfather was a Methodist preacher. He was a circuit rider. And my dad's side of the family was Methodist, and they attended here. My dad did too for a while. But he met my mom, and my mom went to Lakewood Baptist. So guess where our family ended up? That's right, you got it. This is where we ended up when I was a child at Lakewood Baptist Church. You know, it's kind of funny when people think of, when I tell them that I was a Baptist, they tend to think of Bible pounding, you know, loud preaching. But actually, the services here were quite a bit like the ones at Hope. You know, you pass the little cups around once a month, you know, with the little bread cubes for communion, sing the doxology. But one thing that I did find here that was really important to me, was, and when we think about it in terms of a journey, a voyage, I found my North Star here. I found Christ here. And a lot of it was through a youth group that I had, that I participated in. We did mission trips, and we just did a lot of talking and playing and, you know, having a good time as youth. That was really important to me. I have relationships that have lasted, you know, my whole life because of that. So I'm always grateful. You know, not everything that the disciples experienced on the boat and on land was exciting and dramatic.
A lot of it probably was pretty routine, doing their normal tasks, doing their normal jobs. This was my first job actually here as a custodian in my late teens. So I cut this grass and I ran the snowblower on these walks, vacuumed inside. And I always had a real sense that God was present. I mean, of course it helped being in a church, but isn't it nice to kind of think that in our day-to-day lives, that even in the things that we do that aren't necessarily dramatic, that God is always there with us. Here's where I went to elementary school from first through fifth grade, middle school, and this is where I went to high school. I graduated from Lakewood High in 1978. The school's been completely refurbished since I've been there. And in fact, the whole city of Lakewood really has been refurbished. It's now diverse and very vibrant. When I went here, there were 3,700 students, and a very, very small percentage was non-white. In fact, probably if I were to count African Americans here when I was here, I could probably count them on one hand, maybe two. So it's been quite a bit different now. And I'm sure that, although my parents, always stressed, the importance of not being racist, not being prejudiced in any way, I know there's lots of hidden biases. I know they're there. Some that I'm aware of, and probably a lot that I'm not. If we look at how Jesus acted when he got off the boat and walked on the shore, the people that he met with, the people that he talked to, it was almost scandalous at the time. So I can certainly do better with Jesus as an example. One of my best introductions to diversity was right out here on this field, playing soccer. I played soccer here before it was cool to play soccer, but I learned a lot. I learned a lot about families who were immigrants, because most of my teammates were either immigrants themselves or were first generation. Here's me actually playing soccer, where I played defense. Watch me take the ball away from this guy. Let's see that again. Yeah. I had to search through a lot of video to find my one highlight. That brick house there is where I lived from first grade until I was married. This was home base. Amy and I met at Case Western Reserve University. And in 1985, Amy and I got on the same ship. And I'm so grateful that we can serve God together through many different seas. Everybody on the ship has an important role to play. This is where I spent a lot of time, at Rockwell Automation, where I was an engineer for more than 30 years. I learned a lot here and worked with a lot of good people and had some experiences that weren't always stellar. Worked with some people who were difficult, but God helped me through a lot of situations. And God calls us to be excellent in wherever we find ourselves working, to work with excellence. Now, maybe not every day is going well, but maybe you also have an opportunity to help somebody else have a better day, or to help somebody else learn something. Sometimes the seas get really rough. In 1985, I lost my mom, and in 2006, I lost my dad, right here at the Hospice of the Western Reserve, in one of those rooms behind me. One technique for dealing with storms on a ship is to point yourself directly into the waves so that you don't capsize. For many years after my dad's death, I'd come here every Christmas with co-workers to sing Christmas carols. And I didn't really realize it at the time, but partly what I was doing, I think, was pointing myself into the waves. Every year it got a little bit easier. never totally went away, but it got easier. And one of the things that I would do, even on those cold December nights, would be to stand out here by the lake to reflect, to think about my dad and my mom, and also to think about my own life, and to use the peace of the evening to bring myself peace as I prayed. Now I'm at Marymount Hospital, where both of our kids were born. When Paul was born, the doctor stepped out for a few minutes, and the nurse ended up delivering him. And I actually thought that I might have to have my EMT training kick in and deliver him myself. When Megan, who was our first child, was born, as we were about to leave, Amy and I were just kind of looking at each other like, I can't believe they're going to just let us walk away with this child. But we managed all right. Nancy talked about how God can be almost like a flotation device for us. And God certainly did that. God had us, and God has them, and God has you. This is the Maple Heights Church where Amy and I actually became Methodists after Amy had gotten a job here as bell choir director. I had mentioned baptism before at Lakewood Baptist, and one of the things that we wanted to do here was have our kids baptized when they were old enough to realize that they were doing it. And the pastor here was very supportive and actually went out of his way to find a dedication liturgy for when the kids were little, when they were babies. And we did that, and then we had them baptized later. We were really happy that they were flexible and willing to do that. And I'm sure that it raised a few eyebrows when we wanted to do things that way, but they were very supportive and helpful to us. Kind of seems like if the church raised its eyebrows less and listened and accepted more, that people of all kinds would feel a little bit more of the love of Christ. So, note to self, stop raising my eyebrows as much, listen some more, and be more accepting so that people might be more aware of the love of Christ. Well, let's head home.
You know, a couple weeks ago, Renee talked about how sometimes in our relationships with each other and with God, it feels like we're just kind of floating along, just floating by. And that's certainly the case with me a lot of times. But I can share with you some of the things that have helped me, and maybe they'll help you too. And I actually learned them in our adult class in Sunday school. So one of them is the Psalms, going through the Psalms. And I set a goal for myself to do one psalm each day, to look at a psalm, read it, write it down in my own words, in words that would mean something to me, and then to pray it. So that's been helpful. And my goal was to do it once every day. That was about a year and a half ago. I think I'm on Psalm 132 now. So if you can do the math, you probably realize I didn't quite hit that goal, but I'm still working at it. Another technique that we learned is in prayer and using our body for prayer. Now, some people use their entire body, almost like a liturgical dance, but I found it helpful sometimes to use my hands, to use my arms, maybe for praise, or for forgiveness, or thinking about my day and about others around me, and about thankfulness. So those are some of the things that I do sometimes that help me. And you know, you can figure out some routine for yourself too that might be helpful. Another technique that we talked about and that has also been helpful is silence. Now, this is a busy, hectic world with a lot of noise and a lot of distractions. So if you can find for yourself, you know, even 5 minutes to just sit in silence, just breathe, try to clear your mind, try to get all the busyness and clutter out of your mind, if you can. Forgive yourself if you can't, but just try to push it away just for a little bit. And sometimes that's a good way, at least for me, to lead into prayer. And also, one thing that really helped me was a book that we read in one of our classes that's called Interrupted, When Jesus Wrecks Your Comfortable Christianity. Interrupted, When Jesus Wrecks Your Comfortable Christianity. And it's by Jen Hatmaker. That has had a real impact on me and how I look at my own spirituality. So it may help you as well. I know that others in our class really took some bold steps after reading it. I wasn't quite as bold, but nevertheless, it did affect me. So I guess after all that, the person you're looking at is just a voyager, not a theologian or a deep religious thinker. Person with biases and faults, but a person who wants to do better. One who struggles when the waves are high, sometimes abandons ship, and definitely prefers safe harbor. But also one who knows that God calls us to take risks and seeks excellence from us, no matter how routine or ordinary the tasks that we have before us. But also, I'm a person who knows that God gives us the navigation markers. He's always with us, and He gives us second chances. I look forward to my voyage ahead in retirement. I'm enjoying tutoring. I tutor GED students, and I also volunteer in the national parks with Amy. I don't know if the journey ahead is going to be smooth sailing or stormy or both. Maybe I'll be the one in the panic trying to wake up Jesus. I don't know. But I'm glad that I have Christ as my North Star to guide me. So now God will go with you until we meet again.
As we come now to our service of offertory, let us pause for a moment and be of prayerful meditation as we offer to God, whether we do that by putting something in the mailbox or giving digitally. Let us take a moment of silent reflection as we offer to God. And now, as we think about what it means to give, would you stand as you're able, whether you're at home or standing out on your porch or whatever, and join with me as we sing our doxology and remember what it is we have partaken in.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above, even heroes. Praise Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.
Now let us join in our response to the offering. This is a responsive reading, so I will do the leader piece, and then I will invite you to join with me in the unison component. Giving is not a casual act. It relates God's work to our work. Peter writes, "As each has received a gift, employ it for one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let us give as people whose work is inextricably linked to God's great works of creation, redemption, and empowerment. Please join with me. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to give to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you not with our words only, but with our whole lives. Amen. And so now, as we prepare to go back out into our daily walk, may you take courage in these stories from the ship. May you know that your story matters and that others' stories matter. And may you be one who recognizes now more than ever all of the different narratives and stories that exist within our ship. May you know that it's okay to be struggling, that it's okay to have our feet be wet, and that it's okay to turn to others for help when we are in the midst of a storm. May you be one who builds bridges and who helps move the ship out of the storm and closer to God. Amen.
Till we meet again, neath his wings secure.